Mark, the craft that you'd mentioned last hour that went about 17,000 miles an hour,
yes.
What kind of propulsion system do you think it had?
Now, that particular aircraft, I eventually was told that it actually had three different propulsion systems. The one was basically was sort of a high-bypass turbojet engine, kind of like what you would find in the old SR-71 Blackbird, buried up inside the fuselage. And then the early versions had what amounted to what has been called a linear aerospike engine. Basically, the whole back end of the aircraft was sort of like a tapered but flattened out cone, and they would spray fuel from a ridge that ran laterally across the aircraft. And as soon as it hit this extremely high pressure, high speed, superheated air flowing over the front of the aircraft, it would spontaneously explode. And it would expand, the exploding fuel would expand between the tapered afterbody of the vehicle and the supersonic shockwave that would slant back and away from this ridge, the point of separation, and would actually push this thing forward. Now, in a previous program with Art, I had mentioned that this was kind of like taking a wet pumpkin seed and squeezing it between your fingers. You know, by putting the pressure both above and below the afterbody of the aircraft, you put pressure on it, you can push it forward at a tremendous velocity. Someone heard that particular statement, and they thought that the code name for the vehicle was the pumpkin seed. Well, it's not. That was just something that someone picked up and began circulating. So that is not the name. It was actually called the Lockheed Pulsar, I believe. But it came under a family of aircraft that later became known as Aurora.
That's right. And we've heard a lot about that. Well, now, everything that you have handled, Mark, or investigated, at any point did you stumble across aliens, for example, that might have been captured or contained?
Well, I did. And not that I ever actually saw any of these things personally myself. But part of my logic, one of the other things that had occurred in this business with Norton Air Force Base and the exhibit that was given at the Lockheed Skunk Works was that there were also three flying saucers on display there, approximately 24, 60, and about 120 to 130 feet in diameter, all hovering off the floor with nothing suspending them in the way of cables from the ceiling or landing gear. And they were referred to as alien reproduction vehicles. Now, there have been a number of people who've called into question the veracity, the honesty of the eyewitness, and you know, it might be easy to discount this story entirely, except that there are probably a dozen other people that I've talked to who either have worked on this thing, have seen it, or have relatives who've worked on it. And so there's no question in my mind that it actually exists. But the real question is whether or not it was back engineered from technology that was captured at some time in the past, in the U.S. history's past, probably, you know, something dating back to the 1940s, 1945 to 1947.
Roswell, do you think?
Well, that's one possibility. Interestingly, there's sort of a tie-in between stealth and those original incidents, because one of the few kinds of radar systems that has the potential of detecting a stealth aircraft, and there was a lot of question about how effective the Northrop B-2 bomber would be, because there was a radar system under development that was called UWB. It was ultra wideband radar, and because it broadcasts on a number of frequencies simultaneously, it has the ability to sort of silhouette the target, even if the target has the ability to limit radar reflectivity, even absorbing some of the reflectivity, because of the fact that it's broadcasting on a number of frequencies simultaneously, it has the ability to sort of isolate this pocket that doesn't reflect anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that the very first and the most rudimentary radar systems that the U.S. military developed, which happened to be down in the area of Mexico and Four Corners, where the Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado come together, was a radar system that had this unusual characteristic. Because it was so rudimentary, because they hadn't refined the technology, it just happened to have the ability to broadcast on a number of frequencies very sort of in a dirty way, you know, sort of staticky, if you will, in terms of the terminology that you'd want to use. But because of that, it's been discussed and rumored, and some people have claimed that it was this very aspect of the radar's transmission, this multi-spectral wide spectrum broadcast, that had the ability to jam the control systems of some of these vehicles that started showing up in the skies of Earth after we began detonating nuclear weapons. Now, the story goes that something about the way that we built these weapons, the way they went off, the electromagnetic nuclear pulse, sent out a signal, a signature, if you will, that told somebody somewhere else, maybe in the next star system over, that, hey, the boys on Earth have cracked the atom finally. We need to go check out their progress and see if they're going to destroy themselves.
Right. They're coming along. Exactly.
And so if you look at the time between the first detonations of nuclear weapons, probably, I don't remember the exact, the first test I think was in 1944, and the first actual use in warfare was, I believe, August of 1945. But, you know, you look at that, and it's 1947, which is supposedly the first downed extraterrestrial vehicle at Roswell. It's 2 years later, and so if you look at the distances between stars and the possibility of traveling at superluminal or faster than light speeds, you know, you have the potential of having somebody from somewhere else saying, you know, this is, we need to go there and see what the guys on Earth are doing. But so Roswell wasn't the only incident. There were also incidents, crashes that occurred at Aztec, New Mexico, a site which I've actually visited. Roswell, Socorro, New Mexico, or is it Mexico? I forget. Paradise, Arizona. There was one near somewhere near Flagstaff, I believe it was, as well. So, but if you look at these, and they all sort of form a circle around the area where these radar tests were being done, and so it tends to make one believe that there really was something to the story about this particular kind of radar interfering with their guidance control systems.